Jenna Fischer, best known as Pam Beasley on NBC's The Office, has a new movie out called A Little Help, and it gives moviegoers a chance to see a slightly sadder and darker side of her acting.
Open again, please. Yeah. There's definitely something going on with that molar. I'm going to have Dr. Kelman take a look after we finish with your cleaning.
Laura?
Yes?
What are you doing here?
Well, right now, I have Mr. Daniels, and then I have a 10 and a 10:30.
Laura, today is your husband's funeral.
Not till 3.
That is Jenna Fischer in a clip from her new movie, A Little Help, which opens today. It centers on a woman who is in an unhappy marriage. It comes to a sudden end when her husband unexpectedly dies, and there are many twists and turns after that. The film is directed by Michael Whitehorn, a television writer and director known for his work on The King of Queens, Family Ties, and a bunch of other sitcoms. A Little Help, your first feature film, right, Michael?
Yes, it is.
And Jenna Fischer joins us from California. Michael, here in the studio with us. Good morning to both of you.
Hi.
Good morning.
You know, first question for you, Michael, because it seems to me that we're now almost 10 years out from 9/11. This movie, a lot of things are connected to 9/11, although you wouldn't call this a 9/11 film. At the same time, it almost feels like now we're finally at the place where there's enough space from the tragedy to be able to make a comedic film that references 9/11. Do you agree with that?
I guess if that's true, that's a happy accident, because I started work on the film only a couple of years after 9/11.
And really?
It was, it would have been a contemporary piece had it been made in a timely manner. But in the indie world, nothing is made in a timely manner. So all this time passed. And I think it was a happy accident. I think people's perspective on 9/11, I don't know if it's that the take on it isn't so comedic, but there are moments that are actually sort of awkwardly funny that reference 9/11, and perhaps people are more have a perspective that allows for that better now than they would have, 8 years ago or something.
And in this movie, Jenna, you end up kind of unwillingly pretending to me a 9/11 widow. That must have been a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, that was kind of intense. Well, I'm pretending that my husband was killed in 9/11 to protect my son, who in the film has told a lie that his father was a 9/11 hero, and that he was a fireman who helped in the tragedy. He wants to fit in at a new school, and I end up perpetuating this lie, which blows up in both our faces eventually. But as a result, I have to attend some school functions and speak to people about the tragedy in our lives that didn't actually happen.
Well, a lot of this, Jenna, relies on lies. I mean, it seems to me like there's a lot of things this film could be about, but lying and the truth, it seems to be the big theme. And do you think that your character kind of comes to a different view of, I mean, she has one view at the beginning where she suspects her husband of lying and he was indeed cheating on her. But do you think she comes to a different view of it by the time she gets to the end?
I think my character just sort of thinks that everyone lies and that lying is a part of life. And the problem with her is that, in the moment, a lie might fix her problem, her immediate problem. But she isn't able to anticipate how that lie is going to affect her in 3 days from now, 5 days from now, 2 weeks from now. So I think by the end of the movie, she does see, obviously, the problems with lying, and she wants to live a more honest life.
Well, let me ask you, Michael. I mean, although this clearly isn't really what you'd call a message film, there's some strong themes in it. Lying is one of them. Another one is the idea that we're all just kind of doing our best, and in some cases kind of hanging on by our fingernails the best we can to get by, as Jenna just said, in the moment. Was that what you were thinking about?
Yeah, well, I think often the small adaptations that we make in our life just to survive have much, as Jenna was saying a moment ago, have broad implications that we're not thinking of in that moment. And all of a sudden, 10 years down the line from a choice that we've made, a marriage or whatever it may be, we find, ourselves really deep in the consequences of it, that and lost in it and not quite sure how to get out. And lives often then have these cataclysmic events where finally, the pressure builds to a point where the person or something happens that just forces the lie to explode and people to reevaluate. And the people who are strong enough can reevaluate and grow in a positive way, which is hopefully the feeling that people take away about the character that Jenna plays in the film.
Yeah, these are all things that are great to watch and entertaining when they're just building suspense in a movie, but they're terrible when you're actually involved in them in real life. So, I mean, Jenna, for you, I wonder if in choosing films now, you have to, it's become so much for you that Pam on The Office is so much with you that you choose films based on not being Pam, or do you just choose films based solely on whether you like the film or not?
Well, you know, as an actress, you kind of go into the profession wanting to play a variety of different people. That's sort of what's attractive about being an actress, at least it was for me. And so 8 months out of the year, I play this one character who I love to play. But definitely when I have my opportunity to perform in something else, I like to do something that is different. And this character is not only very, very different from Pam, but she's very different from myself. And I think that was the biggest draw for me, was that I was going to have to really work to suppress a lot of my kind of natural instincts in order to play this role. So it would be much harder for me. It's a lot easier for me to play people like Pam because she's so much closer to myself. But this was a big stretch, and I liked that challenge.
Do you think she's redeemed in the end, Jenna?
I think that she is, yeah. I think she's a person who, in the beginning of the movie, is... she just is going through life waiting for whatever is handed to her. She's not really in charge of her own life, in directing her own life. She just takes whatever life gives her. And by the end of the movie, I think the turn for her is that from now on, she's going to start really making choices that will affect her own life, and she's going to be kind of the director of her own life.
Well, let's ask the director of this film, Michael Whitehorn. Do you think that Jenna's right on, that from where this movie ends is really the beginning of her, of this character taking control?
That's certainly the intention. It's interesting because people, moviegoers, have been trained to feel like for a character to really come out of a movie with a victory by the end, they have to have some external event happen that's positive. They have to either meet somebody and fall in love, or they have to come into some money or a great job. There has to be some tangible thing that they gain, you know, that you can look at and put on a table, so to speak. Whereas quite deliberately in this movie, the only victory that she has is internal. The circumstances of her life have not gotten any better externally, but internally she's grown and lost a lot of the youthful kind of narcissism and foolishness that sort of was okay when she was younger, but now just doesn't fit, and she's found the strength in herself to kind of grow beyond it. And so that was the intent. For some people, you know, that plays and people like that, and other people go, why didn't she get a great job? Where's the man she's going to
be? Where's the happy ending?
Yeah, exactly.
The neat happy ending. You won't find it in the new movie called A Little Help, but... you will find Jenna Fischer. She's the star of The Office on NBC, playing a very different character in the new drama, A Little Help. And the writer and director of that film is Michael Whitehorn. Thank you both so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So a happy ending, possibly, for the financial problems of the United States was supposed on our program yesterday. Pippa Malgram argued that in order to solve our country's debt problem, Americans should simply work an extra 10 years. Not all of our listeners agree with the merits of that.
Good morning. My name is Carolyn. I'm calling from Atlanta, Georgia. No, I'm not willing to work another 10 years. I think one way to help with the deficit is to stop the wars and stop all of the foreign aid.
All right. We'll let Carolyn off the hook then. What do you think? Are you willing to serve your country by sticking with your day job an extra decade? Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or text the word TAKE to 69866. And stay cool this weekend, won't you? I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste. I would, but I like my day job. This is The Takeaway.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.